This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On today's episode, we will take a look back at Game Week 10. We'll discuss all the key performers and results, and I'll give you my star and flop of the week. And then it's Game Week 11. We'll run through the fixture list and I'll discuss some informed players with good fixtures coming up this week and for future weeks. And then we'll take that into consideration when discussing potential transfers, captaincy for Game Week 11, any potential differentials, and as always, I'll finish up with my likely team ahead of Game Week 11. So, let's get into it. Right then, Game Week 10 commenced on Friday night with Crystal Palace 1, Tottenham 2. Spurs making quite hard work of the victory in the end, but goals from Heung-min Son and a Joel Ward own goal were enough to seal the victory, with assists from Brennan Johnson and James Maddison. Crystal Palace goal came from Jordan Ayew, with Anderson getting the assist. Unfortunately, there were no clean sheet points for any owners of Spurs defenders after that late consolation for Palace. Chelsea 0, Brentford 2. And just as Chelsea were starting to find a little bit of form, or at least improving their results, they've lost at home in that West London derby. Standout performer of the FPL season so far, Mbeumo with a goal and an assist. The other goal coming from Pinnock, and Neil Mope getting an assist as well. Arsenal 5, Sheffield United 0. And Eddie Nketiah deputising for the injured Gabby Jesus with a first half hat-trick. Well done to owners of Nketiah. The other goals came from Fabio Vieira and Tomiyasu. Assists coming from Elneny, Saka, Smith-Rowe and Declan Rice. Unfortunately, one of the more popular Arsenal defenders, Gabriel, was not selected. Didn't get on, so no clean sheet points for him. And that's starting to prove a problem once again for Gabriel owners, who thought they'd probably got out of the woods after that tricky start to the season, left out by Arteta, then seemed to have got his place back. But we're really not too sure what's going on behind the scenes. But for some reason, one of Arsenal's best defenders last season isn't guaranteed minutes this year. And that's not ideal for anyone who owns him in their FPL team. So back to the drawing board for any Gabriel owners. Bournemouth 2, Burnley 1. Goals for Bournemouth coming from Billing and Semenyo. And the goal for Burnley came from one of the most selected defenders, actually, for people who were playing the wild card in the last couple of weeks. And that's probably just down to the fact that he was 3.9 million. But he got on the score sheet this week. It's Burnley defender Taylor with an assist for O'Shea. Wolves 2, Newcastle 2. Goals for Wolves came from Lamina and Hwang Hee-chan with assists from Neto and Totti. And it was a Callum Wilson brace that earned Newcastle a point. One of his goals coming from the penalty spot with an assist from Newcastle centre-half Cher. Moving on to the Sunday games, we had West Ham 0, Everton 1. Great away win for the Toffees. Calvert-Lewin with the goal and an assist from Harrison. Unfortunately, no clean sheet for one of the most selected goalkeepers in the game at the moment, West Ham's Areola. Aston Villa 3, Luton 1. Villa's goals coming from McGinn, Diaby and a Lockyer own goal. Assists from Bailey, Douglas Luiz and Diaby. And Luton's goal came via Martinez' own goal, so no clean sheet points for those Matty Cash owners, I'm afraid. Brighton 1, Fulham 1. Brighton's goal coming from youngster Evan Ferguson with a Pascal Gross assist, and Fulham's reply came from Paulinho with Wilson assisting. Liverpool 3, Nottingham Forest 0. And it was the front three that all contributed for those three goals for Liverpool. Darwin Nunez, Diogo Jota and Salah all on the score sheet. Darwin also picking up an assist, as did Szoboszlai with two assists. And finally, in game week 10, we had the Manchester Derby. Manchester United 0, Manchester City 3. 2 goals and an assist for Erling Haaland, punishing anyone who decided to go against Haaland for captain. Foden got the other goal for City, with assists for Bernardo and Rodri as well. Moving quickly on to Star of the Week, and there were a couple of contenders this week. Eddie Nketiah, with his hat-trick in the first half, delivered 17 points for owners, although there aren't too many of those out there. However, with a 16-point return, 2 goals and an assist in the Manchester Derby, my Star of the Week this week goes to Erling Haaland in a week where he actually had the lowest ownership he's had all season. Now, he's still owned by 85% of FPL managers, but this was a week where many had started to doubt just how crucial he was to their teams. And I myself even went for Salah as captain, and anyone who did the same was punished accordingly by the Norwegian goal-scoring machine. So Haaland gets my Star of the Week. As for Flop of the Week, this week I'm giving it to Kieran Trippier. The Newcastle fullback delivered a 0-point return due to conceding twice and picking up a yellow card in the 2-2 draw at Wolves. But this was also one of Trippier's sloppiest performances of the season. Not great from him or Newcastle defensively, but Trippier in particular at 7 million, we expect more. So Trippier gets Flop of the Week this week. Okay, let's move on to Game Week 11. The deadline for this week is Saturday the 4th of November at 11 a.m. UK time. And that is 90 minutes before the first fixture of Game Week 11, which is Fulham versus Manchester United. Then we've got Brentford versus West Ham, Burnley versus Palace, Everton versus Brighton, Manchester City host Bournemouth, Sheffield United take on Wolves, with Newcastle at home to Arsenal. Then on the Sunday, we've got Nottingham Forest versus Aston Villa, Luton versus Liverpool. And on Monday Night Football, we've got Tottenham versus Chelsea. I'm sure that will be a feisty fixture with the return of Pochettino. A couple of standout fixtures this game week for FPL managers to really target. Manchester City at home to Bournemouth looks a delicious FPL fixture for owners of City players, both attack and defence. Liverpool away at Luton feels like a great opportunity for points there. And in-form Aston Villa away at Forest, also a very kind fixture as well. There are also 2 games this week which are quite interesting for FPL, as both teams on paper feel quite strong. So you've got Newcastle hosting Arsenal, and whilst Newcastle came off the back of a fairly disappointing draw at Wolves last game week, they have also just smashed Manchester United 3-0 in midweek. So I'm sure confidence will be high back at St James's Park as they welcome Arsenal. And the other intriguing fixture rounding off game week 11 is Spurs versus Chelsea. I'm expecting a hostile atmosphere for the returning manager Maurizio Pochettino under those Monday night lights. Don't be surprised if you see plenty of cards dished out in this fixture. It's normally pretty feisty. And whilst Chelsea are not in the best of form, they did win midweek in the League Cup. However, that has also meant that they've had far less time than Spurs to prepare for this important league fixture. Spurs obviously not in the League Cup anymore, so that gives them the full week of preparation, over a week in fact, as they played on Friday night in game week 10, and they're not playing again until Monday night this game week. So almost 9 whole days of preparation for this big London derby. So, with all that taken into consideration, let's take a look now at some players that we could potentially bring in for game week 11 and beyond. City's game against Bournemouth, as I said earlier, looks like one to target. Many managers already owning Haaland could look to double or triple up with attacking options like Phil Foden and Julian Alvarez. However, if you're in the market for a defensive addition to your team, then Kyle Walker is the highest point scoring defender for Manchester City. He's also the most used in terms of minutes. However, John Stones has returned from injury. He started the last two for City, including the derby where they won 3-0. And with Pep liking him to step into that midfield position, create and get forward a little bit, there is, of course, also the increased chance of some attacking returns. So John Stones could well be an option to bring in as well. As for Liverpool options, they face Luton this game week. And I have previously said that Salah does feel like the only viable pick, just down to the fact that there's been so much rotation across that front line. However, at the moment, there has been a slightly more settled front three. We've seen Jota, Darwin and Salah all start the last two games, and they've also been delivering some returns. So Jota and Darwin are both very good picks. Now, after Luton, Liverpool face Brentford. They then have a very tricky game against Manchester City, but that is followed by fixtures against Fulham and Sheffield United. So if you're looking to bring in a Liverpool player this game week, targeting that Luton game, fear not, this isn't just one week. Over the next few weeks, Liverpool have great fixtures. So definitely an opportunity to bring someone in now, and you don't have to worry too much about their future fixture run as well. Let's take a look now at some Aston Villa options for your FPL teams. Now, most people will have Ollie Watkins already in their team, certainly at least in their thoughts. And if you don't have him yet, I would certainly be recommending bringing in Ollie Watkins. Great fixtures still for Aston Villa, and he's just on fantastic form at the moment. However, if you've already got Watkins and you're looking to either double or triple up to take advantage while Aston Villa are in such great form and the fixtures are still favourable, then two midfield options that you could be looking at are Diaby and Douglas Luiz. Now, it's quite interesting really because their stats are incredibly similar despite Diaby playing almost as a second striker and Douglas Luiz playing as a holding midfielder. And yet, Luiz has 56 points and Diaby has 57 so far this season. Luiz has 5 goals to Diaby's 3 and 1 assist for Douglas Luiz, but 5 assists for Diaby. So it's fairly even overall. Goals slightly favour Luiz, and that's probably down to the fact that he's on penalties, but assists and creativity slightly favour Diaby, especially in that more advanced position. But the real key comparison here is the price. And Diaby is 6.8 million, and Douglas Luiz is 5.6 million. So if you want to get in on a little more Aston Villa action, and you're a little strapped for cash, then Douglas Luiz feels like a great option and probably preferable to Diaby overall. But that's purely based on price and the fact that he's on penalties. If money is no object, then there's nothing wrong with going with Diaby. But if you're a little strapped for cash, then I don't see any issues with going with the cheaper option here. Right then, let's move on now to some differentials. The first of three that I'm going to offer up this week is John Stones at Manchester City. I spoke about him earlier. He's back from injury and started the last two, and he's just 3.4% owned. Now, he cost 5.3 million, so he's a little more expensive than a few popular options already in most people's teams. However, if you're looking to get someone like a Trippier in, but you can't afford him, or you're potentially thinking of freeing up some funds by selling someone like Trippier, then John Stones looks like a great alternative. And of course, as I said, there's the increased chance of attacking returns from Stones as he steps into that midfield position. At home against Bournemouth, so good chance of a clean sheet as well. Next up, we have Wolves midfielder who plays almost as a second forward. It's Hwang Hee-chan, 3.4% owned as well. He's 5.5 million and has been in fantastic form of late for Wolves. And they are up against Sheffield United next. So if you're after a one-week punt, then Wolves midfielder Hwang Hee-chan could be a great option as well. And the final one I'm going to give you is a little bit left field, and it's a bit of a punt. It's Brennan Johnson at Spurs. Now, he's only 0.3% owned, and the main reason for that is that he hasn't been starting for Spurs. However, that is down to an injury that he has recovered from now. He's had two substitute appearances and he actually came off the bench last week against Palace to get that assist for Son's goal. He's looked really good whenever he has played under Postecoglou and the manager clearly has a lot of faith in him. He threw him in to make his debut in the North London derby against Arsenal and he's definitely pushing Richarlison for that starting spot out on the left. And I do think there is a good chance that he will get the nod ahead of Richarlison for this big game on Monday night against Chelsea. So as I say, this one's a little bit of a punt, but if you're looking to differentiate yourself from the rest of your mini leagues or you're looking to gain back some points on others, then this could be the punt for you. On to captaincy now, and there's really only one viable option in my book this week. I definitely will not be making the same mistake again. Erling Haaland gets the armband for me. There is, of course, once again, the argument that Salah could be a good option with Liverpool away at Luton, but take that risk at your peril. Erling Haaland gets the armband for me, and it's going to take a lot now for me to take it away from him. We finished up the episode, as always, with my likely team ahead of game week 11. And this week, I'm fairly certain I'm actually going to roll my transfer. Pretty happy with my team as it is. I'm going to start in goal Areola for West Ham. He's away at Brentford. My back three will be Pau Torres away at Forest, Liverpool Simikas away at Luton, and goal-scoring defender for Burnley, Taylor, gets the nod at home against Crystal Palace. And I'm picking him at the moment because my other two defenders are Dan Burn for Newcastle and Gabriel for Arsenal, and they are facing one another. And whilst I don't think Gabriel will play, Dan Burn, I'm uncertain of that clean sheet potential. And Crystal Palace do look pretty toothless in attack at the moment. So I'm actually going to go for the Burnley defender over Dan Burn. That could change if I get a little bit of cold feet just ahead of the deadline. But at the moment, I'm favouring Taylor ahead of Burn. My midfield five consists of Saka away at Newcastle, Mitoma away at Everton, Heung-min Son at home against Chelsea, Mo Salah away at Luton, and Chelsea's Cole Palmer away at Spurs. There is the possibility, I suppose, I could bring in Dan Burn for Cole Palmer, but ultimately I think there's more chance of Palmer getting an attacking return against Tottenham than I think there is of Newcastle keeping a clean sheet against Arsenal. Up front, I've got Ollie Watkins away at Forest, and captain Erling Haaland is at home to Bournemouth. My bench is Matt Turner in goal, Dan Burn, Cameron Archer and Gabriel for Arsenal. Now, I know I need to address Gabriel. I'm probably going to sell him next week and I will do that using two free transfers. So that should give me a little bit more time, information and a bit more flexibility next game week. So that is my team for this week. Good luck to everybody ahead of game week 11. Once again, the deadline is Saturday the 4th of November at 11 a.m. UK time. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Andy Johnson. You can find me on Twitter or X at Andy J Audio or at One Stop FPL. Good luck to everyone ahead of game week 11 and I'll talk to you again next week.